Start a two-part series titled, God Has a Call on Your Life. We're going to do it today and next Sunday. And I want us all to understand something at the very beginning. God has a call on your life. No one's accepted. There's no exceptions in this. Everyone here has the call of God on their life. And I want to give you a three-part definition of the word call to explain it. So here's the first one. It's in your notes, letter A. When we talk about a call this morning, it is God initiated. Understand that Jesus said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. This is all God's part. You know why? We aren't interested. We weren't interested. But God initiates a call upon each of our lives. Here's the second part. The second thing about the call is this. His love motivates him to rescue that which was lost. You see, sin separated man from God. And God is so passionate about your life. He loves you. He values you. And let me say this. You are worth it to him. You see, we get stuck in life sometimes because we don't think we have much to offer. We discount ourselves. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. That person does it so much better. And what we do is we discount or devalue who we are. God comes along and his call says this, you are worth it to him. He sees value in your life. Others may not. But he does. And this whole rescue thing, he is on a rescue mission through Christ to help you get reconnected to him so you can follow his call on your life. He's passionate about you. As a matter of fact, he is pursuing you. I love to hear stories of people who find God later in life, and then they look back in their life and they say this, I see where God was at work. Here, and if that not had happened, I may not be alive today. You know what that is? God is pursuing people from a very young age. We don't even know it. You have family that may not be in church. Maybe they're not interested in spiritual things. God is pursuing them. They don't know it. We don't see it, but he's on the mission because there's a rescue that he's initiates to help people figure life out. He's motivated by love for you. I'll say it again. You are worth it to him. And here's finally the final point, letter C, an invitation. The call of God is an invitation for you and me to make sure that we fulfill what he has put us on earth to accomplish. You know, I'm amazed when I listen to kids or young adults, you know, there'll be some kind of a special concert coming up or a singer, somebody they like or a band. And so they'll spend $100 or $200 to go listen to this person or people. Kind of a fun, energizing time. Can I tell you? The invitation of God, from God, to be a part of what he's doing is the most exciting, exhilarating opportunity of your lifetime. It's his invitation to you. And so as we think about the call, he initiates it. It's totally him. We got to respond to it. His love motivates him because you're worth it to him. And lastly, the invitation is on the table for everybody here. You know, most of the people in Walton aren't in church this morning. Years back, I did a study. I thought maybe 23-25% go to church in Walton, which is probably higher than other places. But the other 75%, God is pursuing because the same offer is available to them as it is to us. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share with you three things that God calls us to. There's many things, but these three are, in my mind, very important. They apply to all of us. So if you're here today and you're trying to figure your life out, you're trying to make sense of certain things, let me tell you, you're in the right place. And I hope in the next 20, 30 minutes, you will get a new understanding of God's call upon your life. So let's get started. First of all, let's read together Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5. It's in your notes. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I was up at the jail Friday, and I did this with the inmates. I asked them how old they were. Some of them told me that one guy says 54. Another one, I think, said 31. One of the ladies said 66. And so we did popcorn style, "What's your age?" Then I said this: go back that many years, add 9 months to it. Add 9 months to it. And then we look at this verse, and it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Do you realize the call of God precedes even when your mother was pregnant with you? Before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. He says, when you look at before you were born, he set you apart. You know what that's saying? God had a call on your life before your mother became pregnant with you. It's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? And he said to Jeremiah, "You know what I've got for you? I'm going to appoint you as a prophet to the nations." That was his assignment. You have an assignment from God as well. You know why? He said before you were born or formed in the womb, he set you apart, and he identified the purpose of your life. It's the invitation he gives to all of us in helping us understand life. All right, so here we go. God calls us three things. Number one, the first thing he calls us to is this: to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus. Read with me verses 18 to 20 from Matthew 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Visualize with me a sea, the Sea of Galilee. And these two guys, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, their brothers, they're fishing, throwing their nets into the water. Jesus comes along, and he extends an invitation to their life. And he says, "Come, follow me." Now understand, there's an authority in his voice that is a sense of urgency. This is not really an optional deal. When the voice of God speaks to our heart, it's with authority, it's with a sense of sovereignty, and a sense of power. And so he says to these two guys, "Come, follow me." It's an invitation to fulfill the purpose that God had for these two guys before they were even born or conceived in the womb. And so he extends the invitation. Notice with me, it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Let me stop right there. You want God's best in your life? Listen closely. The secret is letting go of the nets that prevent you from getting God's best. Whatever that is to you, let go of the nets. And when you let go of the nets, your hands and your heart are freed up to find the next calling, the higher level that God has for your life. So these two guys, at once, they let go of their nets and they began to follow. I love to, the people at the jail, I say, you know, if you miss this relationship of God's call to be his son or daughter and to become a follower of Jesus, you miss life. The same is true for us. If you and I don't get this one right, If we fumble the football, if we ignore it, if we're casual about it, you and I will miss life, the best piece that he has for us. You know why? The calling, which predates even our conception that he has for us, is on the table. And he says, I want everybody to figure it out. I want to help them fulfill their mission in life. Read a story about a young girl who wore a bright, shiny cross around her neck. And one day the pastor said something to her, and he says, well, honey, you know, the cross that Jesus has was wooden. And it was just pretty common, and it was a pretty horrific experience. And she said back to him, she says, well, I learned in Sunday school that whatever Jesus touches, he changes. Whatever Jesus touches, he changes. You know what? When he touches your life, he changes your life. And whatever he becomes a part of, he can make better. So I want to share with you the benefits of being a follower of Jesus. And there's just four, there's many. The first one is this: when we receive Christ, we are rescued from hell itself, and heaven is our future home. Now, many people today don't believe there's a hell. They say, how could a loving God send people to hell? You've heard that, I'm sure. And the answer is, he does not do that. Because he has made provision through Christ for everybody to get to heaven. So it really comes down to the choice of whether we will receive that. And we, if you're here today and you have Christ in your life, and he's your living Savior, it's a real heart deal, can I tell you, you've been rescued from hell, and you know what? You're on your way to heaven. If today's your day of life, you're on your way to heaven. You talk about a reason to celebrate, that's a big one right there. So that's letter A. Letter B, or the second one, live out God's plan for your life. If you have become a follower of Jesus and you're serious about pursuing him, you just got to live out his plan. He'll show it to you. The next one, fulfill a mission just for you. Talking with the people up at the jail, do you realize that God has a mission for them just like he does us? The people that are in jail have made some bad choices and stuff. They're trying to sort that out. But you and I are the same clay they are. And God has a mission specifically for every person here if you're willing to go after it as being a follower of Jesus. The last one is this: make a difference in the world. Who doesn't want to be a difference maker in the world? I mean, we all do. I love the different projects that the church is doing, the water project that Pat's heading up, and Jane is doing Operation Christmas Child with the team, and We do local things as well. Hey, make a difference wherever you go. I feel it's a real privilege for me, Pastor Jack would say the same thing, to be a part of a group of people that just want to do good things to touch the world globally or locally, just to make a difference in our daily lives. So thank you, church family, for being that kind of a people. So number one, if you want the best God has for your life, understand it starts with being a follower of Jesus and going all in, and listen, dropping the nets, letting go of the nets of our life that hold us back so we can get free to live out his purpose for us going forward. All right, here's a couple of slides. Here's the first one. Write your injuries in dust, your benefits in marble. Benjamin Franklin. A lot of benefits to being a follower. Hang on to them. Here's the second one. Serving God is the greatest adventure in the world. Do you agree with that? Serving God is the greatest adventure. 1 year from now, Lord willing, if we're all still alive, we're going to be sitting here. And we have a whole year ahead of us. And the next year could be the most exciting year of your life. You know why? Following Jesus, we follow his call, and he will lift us up and use us in a way we never dreamed. So it's the greatest adventure in life itself. Okay, number two. The second thing that he has called us to be is this. He has called us to be holy. To be holy. Read with me the verse on the backside, 1 Peter 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Circle the word holy. It means purity. Now, I have to be honest, I do not feel very holy at times. As a matter of fact, I know I'm not. But the Bible says, be holy just as God is holy. And so what is he that I need to become? It's this thing of purity. So read with me James chapter 1, 26 and 7. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on this tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now here's what James is saying. You want to do an acid test of your religion or your spirituality? Check your language. He says, for the person that has a pretty unruly tongue, and whether it's profanity or other things, and they don't have control or a tight rein of his tongue, the religion is not very deep in that person. Now, I'll be real honest, as a kid, I swore. I swore all the swear words. There were times in my life I just did that. The older I got and the more I learned and studied, God helped me to realize it's a heart issue. And the more he captured my heart, the less bad stuff in terms of profanity ever came out of my life. Now, here's what James says. He says at the very last part of that verse, keep yourself from being polluted by the world. I want to talk about pollution. You see pictures of different cities and the smog that hangs over a city, or you see an oil spill, you see places on the earth that have just been polluted from garbage. It's a bad place. It's dark, it's disgusting, it's devalued, but it's polluted. In the book of Job, there's an amazing verse tucked away in this life story of intense struggle and yet victory. And here's what he said. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now here's the principle. It applies to men and women. Job made a covenant with his eyes, an agreement with God, before God, saying, you know what, God, I'm going to be careful what my eyes see. And he says, I made a covenant not to look lustfully at a girl or a guy. Now, there have been times in my life where I've seen something and I turned away. And I said, I don't want that. There's been other times I've looked at something that's popped up before me and I either looked at it too many times or looked at it too long and I didn't turn away. Let me tell you what the end result is, the second one. It's this. I felt polluted. I felt contaminated. I felt defeated. You know why? God says, be holy because he is holy. I was not holy in that moment. And I had to find forgiveness from God. There's so many ways in today's culture, so many opportunities of the eyes to see things we don't want to see. Now, if we intentionally go after something that is not good, let me tell you, we are setting ourselves up for pollution, for a sense of contamination on the inside. We all understand this. You know, we're on the internet, and sometimes something will pop up, and there'll be a picture there. Here's another biggie. It's the TV, the movies we watch, we stream, whatever it is. And the movie is 80 to 90% good. It's a great theme, and the actors and actresses are wonderful. And then all of a sudden, there's a scene either of nudity or language that just somehow sabotages the whole movie. And we see something with our eyes that we wish we wouldn't have. We all get that, right? We like the movie, but then there's something that pops up. Here's the deal. God says, be holy because I'm holy. Job said, I will make a covenant with my eyes, and I will be careful with what I go after to see and look at. Whether it's looking at the opposite sex or a movie or what's on the internet, I will be careful. And you know what he says? It's a covenant. It's a pretty big word. It's a high-level commitment that I'm going to be careful with what goes into my eyes. Because the eyes go to the soul, which is the heart. And it's in the heart that I can have victory or I'm defeated. Now here's a quote I'm going to have Jake put up. Everything that enters your eyes and ears affect your heart. So always protect your heart. The call of God is to follow Jesus, but another part is to be careful of what goes into our eyes, because then it gets lodged in our heart. That can affect my entire life. You know what the difference is? It's victory or defeat. It is a sense of purity or a sense of pollution and contamination. I've experienced both. I've had times of great victory. Other times I blew it. And you feel within this sense of being soiled or contaminated or polluted. The good news is this. God is delighted when his children come before him and say, God, I need the empowerment to live a holy life. We can't do it ourselves. Talk about that a little bit later. All right, so number one, be a follower of Jesus. Number two, you got to be holy. That's part of his calling. And I have one more quote. Go ahead, Jake. Whatever you fix your eyes on is what you will encourage. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In other words, have a predetermined outlook of what you're going to look at or focus on throughout the day. Okay, number three. I love this point. The third thing that God calls us to is this. To be whole. W-H-O-L. He calls us to be whole. Read with me the first set of verses there in your notes. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. I want you to circle the two words there when it says God has called us to be whole, W-H-O-L-E. I got a picture of Jake put up. This goes back to 2010. Some of you will remember this, others will not. It is the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. There was an explosion on the rig, and it was an oil rig. And for 87 days, almost 3 months, the oil gushed out uncontrollably from this oil well. And they estimated there was 134 million gallons of oil that got spewed out. I did a Google on this, and I said, what's that worth in 2010? And it said that much oil was worth about $10 billion that got pumped into the Gulf. Now, BP did a lot of cleanup. There were some people that were killed, some people that were injured, a lot of economic loss, damaged shoreline, and it went on for 87 days before they capped it. They were working around the clock to try and figure that out. When I thought about this whole experience, I thought about our lives, my life. There's things in our past, a hurt, a decision, a pain, something that happened to us. It's like an uncapped oil spill in our life. We get up in the morning and our energy goes to try and deal with it. So much so, sometimes it consumes all we've got to deal with something from the past. And sometimes it takes years or decades to get it capped through God's grace. Now, maybe you're here today and you totally understand what I'm saying. There's something in your life that you've had struggle getting over with. I want you to understand this. God calls you to be whole. What does that mean? He wants to cap the oil spills in your soul to bring healing into your life. It's His will. It's His plan. He wants you to have wholeness on the inside of your heart. I was up at the jail, as I said. I asked some of the folks there. I said, hey, do you feel whole on the inside? You know, had different answers. Somebody said, you know, I'm okay, sort of okay. And another one said, no. Another one said, well, sometimes. But here's the deal. Everybody here has a degree of whether they're whole or not on the inside. So what am I talking about? Listen, you feel good about yourself. Not that you've not made mistakes or there's been problems in your past, but you get to a place where the grace of God brings wholeness into your life so that you, as a child of God, feel good about yourself. It's wholeness. It's a sense of being connected, that I'm comfortable the best that I can with what's going on inside me over the past 20, 30, 40 years of my life. God's call for you is to feel whole on the inside. He wants you holy. He also wants you to have this sense of being all put together inwardly. Read with me this last set of verses. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before Him. I feel put back together, and I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to see His eyes. God made my life complete, and I felt all put back together. That is the call of God on your life. He spoke it before you were even conceived in the womb, that you'd follow Him, that you'd be holy, and that you would experience wholeness because of the rescue through Christ that's on the table as an invitation to walk with Him during this life. Eugene Peterson in this text, I love it. He says, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to His eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and God wants to rewrite the text of your life. He wants to bring mending and healing to the brokenness on the inside. You know why? He's got wholeness in mind for you, where you feel good about yourself because grace covers a multitude of sins. There's healing, there's power available to us when we come to Him. So three things: be a follower of Jesus. Whatever He touches, He changes. Number two, be holy. And maybe it's this morning, a new awareness of the significance of the eyes, and God is calling you and me to make a covenant with our eyes. That beginning today, this service, I'm going to be careful what goes in my eyes and gets lodged in my heart. And finally, number three, He calls you to be whole. He wants you to feel good about yourself on the inside, all put back together That's a goal he has for you when we live in Christ. Read with me the concluding verses here. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I have two slides to finish up. Here's the first one. God is calling you and me. Nobody's excluded. You have a call on your life that predates and precedes your conception. He set you apart for a purpose, and now the call is extended to us. And here's the last picture. It says, God is calling you. And there's two options there. Decline or accept. Peter and Andrew hit the accept button right away. You know what they did? They dropped their nets. The nets represented the old life. They didn't need that anymore. And they hit accept and they followed him. And you know what happens when you and I do that? We start on a journey that is the most exciting adventure in life. Because the living God wants us to live out a plan that he's had in mind for us before we were born, to follow him, to be holy, and also to be whole on the inside. I'm going to conclude with prayer. Let me tell you how this is going to work. I'm going to pray through all three of these points. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just let God speak to your heart for each of them. So let's bow in prayer, shall we? The first one, you've heard this prayer before. It says, to as many as received Christ, he gave the right or the power or the privilege of becoming a son or daughter of God. I'm going to pray a simple prayer to receive Christ. And you can pray it silently after me if that's you. Father, thank you that you love me. And I confess, sometimes I don't think I'm worth it. Forgive me of all my sins and unbelief. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins and rose again the third day and is alive forevermore. So right now I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time to ask Jesus into your life, I'd like for you to put your hand up and put it back down. Anybody here? First time. You ask Christ into your life. All right. Let's go to point number two. Be holy because God is holy. Now, let God speak to you about your covenant, your commitment of what you will allow through your eyes and your heart. And maybe God is saying to you, it's an area where we need to do better at. We need to guard what we see on a more diligent basis. If that's you, just right now, say, God, help me to do better in the area of what I see and make a covenant with your eyes right now. Just take that time. Finally, point number three, we are called to be whole Now, during this point, in the next few moments, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all the pieces inside you that you don't feel are all connected, and I want you to surrender them to God in this moment. God knows it all anyway. We can't hide it from Him. So I want you to release to Him each of the hurts or the pains or whatever the struggle is in your life for Him to bring wholeness into your life. Just do it right now. For those that want to do this, just put your hands on your knees and put your hands upward. And I want you to receive a healing from God. Okay, be open to it. Just receive it. Father, there's people here today that need a divine touch of healing in their inner world. Whether it be a physical issue, emotional, a psychological, whatever it is. I pray right now in the quietness of this moment, you will bring wholeness and complete healing to people that are open to receive it, because that is your call on their life. Father, I pray you'll do the miracle for someone here today that needs that touch, because whatever Jesus touches, He changes. And they've been struggling for years, and may today, this moment, as they receive it, it'll be a turning point for them going forward, because we've encountered you, the living God, in this service. So, Father, we just thank you this morning that your rescue plan is for us. We love you. We praise and worship you for it. We thank you for the call to be holy. Give us empowerment to make that covenant with our eyes, and help us then to be whole so that we can feel all put together on the inside, and you would bring complete healing to each heart here today, those listening online, that you, the living God, through the empowerment of your Spirit, would do the miraculous for us, in us, and through us. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.